Natiravanachari Yamunatiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Giribharadhari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Jana Yamuna Tirabhanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Shrutad Paramahansa Paravatikacharya Siddhartha the Shishimata Divine Grace Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Bibhidi Pandacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gopamanandi Hari Hari Bho Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam Third Canto, Chapter 11, Text 17. Sorry, not 17. Text 21. Okay. Dharmas chatus pan manujan. Dharmas chatus pan manujan. Kritte samanuvartate. Kritte samanuvartate. Sevan yeshvadharmena. Sevan yeshvadharmena. Vyeti padena vartata. Vyeti padena vardaha Dharmas chatus pan manujan Kritte samanu vartate Seivan yeshvadharmena Vyeti padena vardata Vaishnavis. Dharmas, religion, Chatupat, complete four dimensions, Manujan, mankind, Krite, in the Satya Yuga, Samanavartate, properly maintained, Sa, that, Eva, certainly, Anyeshu, in other. Adharmena, by the influence of irreligion. Dhyati, declined. Padena, by one part. Vardhata, gradually increasing proportionately. Translation. Ovidura, in the Satya, millennium, mankind properly and completely maintain the principles of religion, but in other millenniums, religion gradually decreased by one part as irreligion was proportionately admitted. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Satya millennium, complete execution of religious principles prevailed. Gradually, the principles of religion decreased by one part in each of the subsequent millenniums. In other words, at present, there is one part religion and three parts irreligion. Therefore, people in this age are not very happy. Omagina timananda shajananjana shalakaya chakshurun malitam yena tasmai shri gudave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So we're hearing about a system here, and the system is that, you know, in the Satya Yuga, all the different principles of religion were being maintained, and how gradually, with the introduction of each new millennium, one of these religious principles disappears. I think the four religious principles are austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. So, in the Satya Yuga, all four of those are being observed. Now, in the Kali Yuga, as it mentioned here, it's gradually decreased by one part, and so there's only one left, and that's truthfulness, and that's kind of not very firmly established. I mean, I think in the Bhagavatam itself gives that example of Dharma, the bull, and he's been, three of his legs have been kind of beaten by Kali, so he's kind of, I don't know how you do it, but he's on one leg, and it's pretty wobbly. So truthfulness is the last existing principle of religion that's existing in the Kali Yuga, and it's wobbly. We can see that people, you know, there's not a lot of truthfulness in the world. But anyways, we're hearing about a system. It's a system, something similar to, you know, how you have four seasons in a year, or, you know, the day and night. It's going on. You know, it's like this Satya Yuga. In this round of millennium, it went Treta, Dwarpa, Kali. Ordinarily, as mentioned in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, the progression is Satya, Dwarpa, Treta, Kali. And it just goes one after the other, 71 times in a lifetime of Manu, and there are 14 Manus in the day of Brahma. And why it exactly goes like that, I can't think of the reason. There's actually 71 cycles of these four millennia, four yugas, in every day, in every lifetime of Manu. And then there's 14 Manus. Is that tied to some physical phenomena, like, you know, the the seasons of the year are tied to the sun, the earth rotating around the sun, or the day and night is determined by the earth, supposedly by the earth spinning on its axis. Is there some, I'm not aware of it, some, you know, physical phenomena this is tied to, but it's happening. It's happening. And the closest thing I could come up with is sort of like an explanation for why it is like this. It's from a verse in the fifth canto. And it appears at the end of the chapter called The Activities of King Bharat. So King Bharat, after he left, you know, he renounced his kingdom. And he went to, I can't remember the Pulaha ashram. So he went to some ashram and he was, you know, performing his sadhana. And part of his regular daily program was every day when the sun was rising, Suryarchara Bhagavantam Hiranmayam Purusham Ujihani Suryamandale Bhupashtitam Itad Uho Vachaha. Just as the sun was rising every day, he would worship Lord Narayan, who is situated within the sun, by reciting various mantras from the Rig Veda. And so one mantra from the Rig Veda that he would recite every morning was Parodaja Savitur Jatta Vedo Devasya Bhargo Manasedam Jajana Sudeta Saja Punadavisha Chaste Hamsam Gridanam Rishidringidami Ma. And the translation for that is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness. He illuminates the entire universe and bestows all benediction upon his devotees. The Lord has created this universe from his own spiritual potency. Okay, so that's one important point. This universe is created from his from the spiritual potency of the Supreme Lord. According to his desire, the Lord entered the universe as the Supersoul, and by virtue of his different potencies, he is maintaining all living entities, desiring material enjoyment. So that has something to do with it too. It says, and then he goes on to say, let me offer my respectful obeisance unto the Lord, who is the giver of intelligence. So in other words, this whole material universe has been created by the spiritual potency of the Lord, and it has something to do with him maintaining living entities, desiring material enjoyment. Now, why he's doing it exactly this way, I don't know. I don't have a clue. You know, why 71 cycles of four millenniums in each lifetime of Manu? Why 1,000 of them in one day of Brahma? Why not at the beginning of the day, it just starts off really good and it gradually, you know, gets worse throughout the day? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. You know, Krishna's got his way of doing things. And but one thing we come away with for sure is that, you know, this is a system. This is a schedule. Schedule, system is something, you know, it's not haphazard. It's not chaotic. It's not random. We're definitely being confronted here with a description of a very, you know, systematic progression of things, and which kind of we have to think, you know, at least a devotee or anybody, if they're confronted with this type of information, they have to think, well, is this coming about as a very precise and detailed description of how the universe is functioning? So is that, you know, do we think this is just some sort of like fantastic mythology? Or is this a description of reality as it exists beyond the pure view of our senses? That's a question you got to kind of ask yourself when you're confronted with this type of information. And of course, as devotees, we come with the, you know, we go with the answer that the second part, that yeah, this is a description of reality as it exists beyond the purview of our senses. That this is the fact, you know, that there are these yuga cycles and there's 14 manas in a day of Brahma, and you know, why Brahma's sleeping 12 hours? I don't know. You know, he's supposed to be spiritually advanced, but that's just Krishna's arrangement. Krishna likes the style. You know, he does things in a certain way, and that's the way he's doing it. Now, but the main thing in this verse that's I think really interesting was it's talking about, Prabhupada mentions about how people in this age are not very happy. Well, raises the question, are people in any age, are people in any age very happy? Well, people in some ages are more happy than other ages. People in the Kali Yuga are the least happy. Okay? Because this whole thing is like a manifestation of how the modes of material nature are operating. So we've heard it stated previously that people in the... what's going on out there? Oh, okay. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll continue. So, in the Satya Yuga, it's stated that people are not 100%, but there's a lot of people. Oh, maybe we'll just hang on a second. So. I had a little bit more I was going to say on the purport, but actually I have something prepared to say about Nara Narayan. I visited him about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, when he was, you know, across the street there. And his son, Krishna Murari, was kindly recounted his major achievements and his association with Prabhupada. And I took notes, so I'll just read you what I have here. Kind of ties in nicely with what's going on. So Nara Narayan was initiated in September of 1968. In 1969, he went to New Vrindavan. He was asked to go to New Vrindavan. At that time, New Vrindavan was in a very kind of a primitive stage. The only building they had was like an old barn/farmhouse. And they really didn't have any quarters for Prabhupada. Nara Narayan, he converted the attic of the barn or the farmhouse into quarters for Prabhupada. He put strengthened the floor, and he made windows, and he made a table that Prabhupada used from the wood on the property, among other things. So he basically renovated that whole attic into a living quarters for Srila Prabhupada. And on that same visit, that same occasion, Prabhupada had a suitcase that they wanted to be able to lock, so they asked him to put some latches on it so that they could, you know, put a lock through it. And they went off on a walk. They took Prabhupada on a walk, you know, the leaders. And it started to rain, so they got back a lot more quickly than what was expected. And when they came back, Nara Narayan was busy with, you know, fiddling around with the suitcase, trying to get the latch, you know, the latch on so that, you know, you could put the lock through it. And Prabhupada came and he was just watching him. And he said, "Vishvakarma." And then he repeated it. And he asked Nara Narayan, he said, "So do you know what that means?" And Nara Narayan said, "Jack of all trades." And Prabhupada said, "No, master of all trades." And the sannyasi, or the servant that was there, said, "So Srila Prabhupada, are you changing his name?" And Prabhupada said, "No, Vishvakarma is not a name. Vishvakarma is a title." He said, "It's like PhD." So that's quite a, you know, honor that Prabhupada said that to him. So, and then he carved the Jagannath deities that are now being worshipped in New Vrindavan. That's something he did. He made an altar for the early New York temple. And there's a little story behind that. Prabhupada just drew him a little, because they hadn't done that before. But Prabhupada apparently had a lot of confidence in his abilities. So Prabhupada gave him a little sketch, you know, of a picture of like a, you know, and he told him to go, but Nara Narayan was saying, "Well, Papa, you know, you've given me a rough idea, but there's going to be a lot of details. You know, how will I know what to do?" And Papa told him, "Krishna will guide you from within." And when he got there, Brahmananda was in charge, and they asked him, "Okay, so what? Let me see your plan." And he showed him the rough, you know, sketch. And Brahmananda said, "How are you going to know what to do?" He said, "Well, Krishna will guide me from within." He said, Brahmananda said, "What are you, some sort of a sahaja?" And he said, "No, that's what, you know, Prabhupada told me that." And that was, you know, that was good enough. So he went ahead and did it. In 1970, he organized the San Francisco Rath Yatra. He built three carts, authentic Rath Yatra carts. That was the first Rath Yatra that had actual real Rath Yatra, authentic Rath Yatra carts. It went from Golden Gate Park to the ocean. He got his parents, both of his parents, involved and engaged in devotional service. His father made the horses that were in front of the Rath Yatra carts. They had these life-size horses. And he painted them all sorts of different colors. And his mother who's also an artist, she didn't like that. So she repainted him white. She got involved too, and she repainted him white. Then in Nairobi, 1970-71, he was there, Prabhupada was there, and they were having some sort of a program, and there was sort of some racial tension there because of the black people and weren't being treated equally, or the Indian people, or somebody wasn't being treated equally. But Narayan, he insisted that everybody eat all together. And that seemed to pacify a lot of the groups, that were kind of disturbed by the way ISKCON was dealing with the public like that. So he prevented an attack from these agitated groups. So in London, he built a gigantic Vyasasan for Ratha Yatra. And then in Los Angeles, he was part of building, he either built the first Vyasasan, I have in my notes here, he built the first Vyasasan. I don't know if that's this one or not, it's something different, but he built the first Vyasasan. And actually, Srila Prabhupada said, actually, I'm not qualified to take such a seat, but I will accept it on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. That's what Narayan remembered. And he told his son, Krishna Murari. Krishna Murari remembers all these things because Narayan would kind of, tell him the whole history. So in London, he worked with Srila Prabhupada on the design for the Mayapur temple. And actually, Krishnamurari told me he was actually the very instrumental in designing the Long Building, which is one of the prominent buildings there in Mayapur world. The Brahmacharis and people with guests would stay when they come. On another occasion, he was with Mukunda. They had a Ratha Yatra, and something didn't go so well, and they were. Something, I think the cart malfunctioned or something like that. So when they went to get the permit for the next year, Mukunda took Narayan with him. And when they asked him, the officials asked, well, why, what makes you think it's not going to, the same thing's not going to happen again? He said, no, I brought my engineer, and Narayan was able to speak in such a way that he kind of convinced them to give him another purport. He says here, this is what the officials said. They said, against our better judgment, Mr. Grant, we will issue you another permit. So somehow or another, Mukunda Maharaj, Brahmacharya at the time, or whatever, Grihastha, brought him along, and based upon Narayan's speaking, and he convinced him that, we know what we're doing, don't worry. And they gave him another permit. The Vyasasan, that huge Vyasasan that he made for the Ratha Yatra, they used it at a program at Albert Hall, but Prabhupada said on that occasion it was too big. And then in 1972 in Mayapur, he made two wells. He made a well for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada at that time was living in the Chattai hut at the very front of the property, you could say, near to the Bhaktisiddhanta Road, Bhaktisiddhanta Mark. And he made a well for that. And Prabhupada instructed him to make another well because he didn't want everybody becoming envious that he had a well for his own private use. And also, others should have facilities. So he made a second well. He made those two wells. And I mentioned about this. He designed the Long Building. That was when he was in London. He laid the cornerstone with Prabhupada. He went down into the pit with Srila Prabhupada to put the gold on Antashesh. And something he remembers when because after they put the golden Murti in the pit, then you cover it. And he was asking Prabhupada, is there any particular way that we should? And Prabhupada said, no, this way, that way. Referring to, I guess, the dirt they were putting on top. No particular, just this way, that way. Huh? Oh, the bricks. That was what. Thank you. Were you there? Did you remember? I have something here, swans and demigods. Do you remember? Okay. Yeah. Well, you might want to continue on, because what I'm up to is that was the last thing when I got up to when he was put the Ananta Shesh, laying the cornerstones, and you want to take it from there? Okay. If I get something wrong, you can. And it was also mentioned Prabhupada envisioned that the temple would be built there, but apparently there was some floods in Mayapur, and that the exact location of where that Ananta Shesh was placed was lost. So, what was the one about my god brothers will kill me? And your father made that sign? Okay. And then he was present at one feast when Prabhupada invited all his god brothers to be there. And apparently the god brothers, they requested Prabhupada to hand everything over to the Gaudiya Math, all his disciples, all his properties and everything. And of course Prabhupada said no. That's not possible. And they all left. They wouldn't. They didn't even stay to honor the prasadam, right? And so Prabhupada had all his disciples come. He invited his disciples to come, and Naranarayan was among them. And he sat down with Prabhupada and the other, and they took the feast that he prepared for all his god brothers. So he was present at the perfect questions, perfect answers. You know, when Prabhupada was doing that thing with Bob Cohen, it's a book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. He was there when that was going on. Okay, then in 1969 or 70, when Srila Prabhupada introduced the song we sing at Gaur Artik, he first introduced that to Vishnu Jan, Naranarayan Prabhu, and two other devotees. He taught it to them first. He sat down with them and he taught them that song. And then later it was taught to other devotees. And he did the same thing with the Nisringa prayers. So he was, you know, right in there in the beginning there, for the programs. Okay, this is interesting. When in Juhu Beach, he was asked to build a garden by Prabhupada, right? He was asked by Prabhupada to build a garden. And so that was so that people could see that they were doing something with the land, because you know they were in the middle of a court case, and if it appeared like, well, they're on this land, you know, but they're not doing anything with the land, then that would make it harder for them to win the court case. So he built that garden, and he did a really good job with the garden, and he established a really good relationship with the workers, and you know, he made sure that they were fed very well, and also He got in, did it with him. He worked with him. He was the first white person that he gained the respect of the workers, because not only because he fed them really well, but because they actually saw him roll up his sleeves and get his hands dirty. He actually did some, you know, physical work, and they loved him, you know. And when they finally left that, you know, Bombay, they arranged a program, you know, for him. Nice, gave him a nice send off, and That garden was, as soon as they won the court case, that garden was demolished because they had other plans for that. But anyway, he did that, and Prabhupada was very pleased with that. And when he went back to the United States, he went back on the sister ship, or I don't know if that's the correct expression, to the Jaladuta, the Jalarajan. And he boarded the ship, and he stayed in the captain's quarters with a devotee named Dina Dayadri. Yeah, was that here in Los Angeles that he made the giant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He made it, and that was, I think, there's some videos where you could see these pictures of, that gigantic statue of Lord Chaitanya being rolled along in the in front of the, or in the Rath Yatra procession, if I'm remembering correctly. Sorry? I don't know. Oh, it was done in San Francisco. Is it Berkeley Temple? Do you have a gigantic statue? It might be. I don't know how many gigantic Lord Chaitanyas we have around, but there's certainly one there, and that might be it. So then I got down here. He designed the temple room. I think it's referring to this temple room. Prabhupada, his original idea was that there was pews in here, like in a church. Well, it was a church, and there was pews, and there was like an organ over there, and I can't remember what, or this was like a podium there, for a speaker. And Prabhupada kind of liked that. He had some idea to keep it like it was. But devotees had another idea. Anyway, it was Narayan Narayan who actually drew up a sketch of how this could be converted into a temple room. And he showed that to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada approved of that. Right? It wasn't like they just went ahead and did it, and Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada was presented by this plan of the sketch that Narayan Narayan did, and Prabhupada approved of that, and then they went ahead and did it. So he was involved with that. And as his mother Shakuntala mentioned, he strengthened this floor, and was involved in actually putting down the marble on the floor here. And he was also involved in the construction of this current Vyasasan. I don't think he physically did it himself, but he commissioned the work out to some guys in Mexico or something like that. So he was instrumental in getting that done. Also, he commissioned artists to do the paintings there that are in the altar there. He was the person who arranged for the artists to do those paintings. And he made 11 Kartashami deities. I think there's one up in Prabhupada's room, so there's 10 others. And he got. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was also asked by Prabhupada to cast Radha Krishna deities. Apparently, that never happened. You got another one for him? Oh, he needs a battery. That never actually happened, but he got that instruction. They had a procession cart here. They used to take, I don't know if they took the deities out on, or they, Rukmini Dwarkanath? So they used to put Rukmini Dwarkanath on a cart and go around the block and, do kirtan, and the neighbors would kind of come out. And so Narayan Narayan made that cart, right? And he was the art director for the fifth canto, and he was the art director for the books from the fifth canto to at least the tenth canto, correct? And and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was the art director. Okay. And the picture I'm not sure what books it's in now, but it's like has a half face, a human face, and then a half animal face. That was his concept. So you've probably all seen that picture. He was the model for Jagai and the temple ceiling painting.
With the red turban.
So he was the model for Jagai there. This one here? This one?
Yeah. With the red turban. Oh.
With the red turban.
He was posing, yeah. Vasudev did the artwork, yeah.
Okay.
And he had gotten Vasudev to come to L.A. to paint here.
In 1970 or 71, he was in Kenya, and Prabhupada was there, and he accompanied Prabhupada onto a home program, and along with a lot of other of his god brothers, you know, disciples. And at one point, so they're all sitting there, and the host is serving out the food, and there was onions in one of the preparations. And so, you know, the devotees were all kind of looking at each other like, what do we do here, you know? And Prabhupada looked at him and said, shut up and eat the onions. Right?
But in a more tactful way, he took some and said, oh, very nice tasting.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I wrote down.
But it was, with the implication, shut up and eat the onions.
Yeah. And then on another occasion, he was staying at the home of this family, and the name of the family was the Acharyas. So as he arrived and was being welcomed by them, Prabhupada turned to his disciples and said, finally, I am taking shelter of the Acharyas. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And your father remembered that. And I have something, the landing unusual, but I can't remember the story behind that. The landing was unusual, some landing?
Oh, okay. When they were landing in Mombasa or Nairobi, the pilot was like a rose-tinted glasses hippie in Africa. And he, when the plane came down, instead of just like a straight landing, as we typically experience, he swooped and did like a corkscrew coming down in the prop plane. And all the devotees were all very startled, and you're like, whoa, what, you know. And he looked, my father looked to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada had his face to the window, and he had a big smile, and he was just enjoying the sort of the roller coaster corkscrew coming down. And so, so he was Abhay Charan, so he was fearless.
So the next thing I have is, on one occasion, your father asked Prabhupada, will I ever become a pure devotee like you? And Prabhupada said, he paused, right? And he said, yes, why not? You are in the process. Oh, then he paused and he said, but it may take some time. Right?
Yes.
And then Narayan remembered on another occasion Prabhupada saying, Krishna consciousness is the art of desire. Right? And then once Narayan Prabhu asked Prabhupada, if Bhaktivinoda was a pure devotee, how did he have so many children? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, he's a pure devotee. His senses were given over to Rishikesh, the master of the sense. His senses were reeled up on spools. When it was the Lord's desire that he have children, he unspooled that propensity, and when it was finished, he spooled it up again. So he asked that question. And that's all the notes I have, so maybe you want to keep some more things you could tell us?
I guess just when there was need for new Jagannath deities to be carved, the Lord's mercy, he was asked to do the service. And at the time, we were not so focused on Krishna consciousness as the primary goal of life, I guess, as the first, you know, we're all involved in family life and things like that. But Lord Jagannath coming to our home in the form of Daru Brahman and being carved, and then all the devotees who were coming so regularly to see how the progress was coming along had transformed our family and brought us out of the, you know, mire of, you know, just the mundane family stuff and sort of kick-started our spiritual practice. And so very grateful to the mercy of Lord Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra, to grace us, and though so unqualified, but you could see when one has done some service that pleased the Lord. My father carved Jagannath in Detroit and New Vrindavan and I think a few other places, and of course Rath Yatra, but the Lord did not forget that, and what is it, 1995 or something, then he found a clever way to pull us all back together. So we're very grateful for the Lord's mercy and to all of you devotees who every day so beautifully worship Lord Jagannath, who is my father's Prananath, and all of ours as well.
Certainly something very special about being a person who's had his service appreciated, acknowledged and appreciated by Srila Prabhupada. That's not an ordinary thing. I mean, I'll stop there if anybody would like to say anything. Narayan Prabhu Ki Jaya. No, maybe we'll just, you want to say something better? Imagine there'll be some sort of program at some point.
Just push that button in.
Right.
And it goes up.
Formal program.
Push it in.
Okay, thank you very much. Gunjaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.